Once again, Jim and I have transported down to the Baratheon Monastery, gone inside, found the Great Hall cold. So I whip out my lighter and ignite the fire pit, because I ain't using flint and steel anymore. Not since we've got these nice lighters to deal with. And Jim and I sit, and Jim and I wait for the two clerics to come and enlighten us.
What are you guys sitting out here for? Why didn't you ring the bell?
There's a bell. I missed that.
Are you saying that we were supposed to be saved by the bell?
Ooh.
We're clerics. We're not psychics. How are we supposed to know someone's out here waiting for us? Come on in.
The room's getting warm. Hi, how about that?
There you go. Oh, welcome back. You ready to continue? We may actually be finishing our journey through the Pakbak to this evening. Where were we? We were going to discuss the challenge. Am I correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. We had finished. Where we left off was Kallus had just brought down the tower that Molor was hiding at the top of, and he had caught Molor by the throat and could have killed him in an instant right there, but instead sets him on his feet. And I think we're about to hear what he says to Molor after setting him on his feet.
I can't remember if we actually discussed that and the value of not summarily executing him, but you know what? Whether we did or not, we'll touch on that again after we've read through this, I think. So if you'd like to take us through it.
Yes. This canto is called Kag. Min duwij tibush molor vait kalaita ej bat et vipab chal kach lij vo bimej et biyin et vichaupu dach yeshuv rup chu et lij Ye judge moch wa lesh chirom, ye konku shochvad ram chav och ramvam e might luch lidge niv ye tuk moch pujwe chivluchur kuv betlu shochvad chosh vear shochvad ew vear shochvad kuv vear.
The challenge. This is the voice of Palish. Look me in the eye, Molor. I gave you my word of honor, and I will respect it. I have let you out of your tower alive. Now prepare for battle to the death. Sharpen your blade. Meet me tomorrow. Sleep well, for it will be your last night. Put on your finest armor, for there is no honor in attacking the weak. I will show you strength. I will show you blood. I will show you honor. We spoke last time about he would have been perfectly justified in the eyes of anyone who was there if he had just brought down the tower and slain Molor. Honor would have been served. Battle would have been done. But he's being somewhat theatrical. He is giving him an opportunity. I am giving you the opportunity to sharpen your blade, to put on your armor, to come and face me on equal footing. In other words, the act of the battle is important to him as well, not just the victory. He is not only trying to win this war, but he is laying the groundwork for a civilization. And the lesson he is teaching is for, one could argue it's for Molor, but more keenly for everyone who witnesses it and everyone that will hear the story from those witnesses throughout the century. What do you think?
Makes you wonder how different Klingon society could have been if Kallus had chosen other actions.
There is, I feel, this is entirely my opinion, but I feel that there is a natural inclination among Klingons to act decisively and to act quickly. And in and of itself, there is nothing wrong with that. But there is a wisdom that comes with sometimes tempering that initial instinct and acting wisely. and remembering the lessons that we have learned throughout life, the lessons taught to us by Kalish. Things like oftentimes the easy path is not the best. Sometimes the harder path is the better one. I mean, I hate to give too much credit to the Vulcans, but sometimes there is wisdom and logic.
I'm wondering, too, if it might have been a thing where Kalis had to face Molar in battle, because if, I think it was, what, Kolar who brought the tower down? If he had just crushed the life out of Molar, would the Klingons have had to go back to worshiping gods?
I hadn't considered that, but I don't think so, because keep in mind, KOTOR was not in and of himself a god. In fact, he's not even really a demon. He was the first Klingon and burdened with, you know, a supernatural duty in the afterlife, but still a Klingon nonetheless. But it's absolutely true that Molar did make the accusation that Kalish was fighting alongside demons. So it is entirely possible that, and I would say even likely, that perhaps the primary group that Kalish was trying to teach here was Molar's own people. So that after the victory, he could say to them, this victory was not a victory by the legions of the dead. It was not a victory by my army. This was not something that I just walked into and claimed after the battle was already fought. That's why I stopped and gave him every opportunity to meet me on equal footing, so the victory would truly be mine. Klingon against Klingon, which I think earns some respect from that invading army. Because then, as Klingons, they could say, well, Molar was defeated in fair combat. This is truly the greater warrior. And again, laying the groundwork of honor. So yes, absolutely.
Without divine intervention.
Exactly. Exactly true. Yes. Like I said, I don't feel that that is necessarily the case, even if he hadn't. But you're right, to make sure that there's absolutely no question that anything supernatural is going on here. It's just one Klingon against one Klingon, and you can clearly see it, all of you that witnessed it. Yes.
Because while KOTOR may be the first Klingon and a Klingon,
mm-hmm.
if you look at human mythology, Thor was a Viking.
Right. And people could argue that the first Klingon to, you know, still be alive, to have come back from the underworld, certainly possesses some abilities that the average Klingon doesn't. Let's remove him from the equation entirely. Yeah, you have an excellent point there. Okay.
So good for Kalis doing it the way he did it.
I agree. Continuing on.
Rom Rolpu Molor Kipmech Wat Chaplo Kalish Ij Rachvo Yit Krishtak Emdak Jinchoch Jul Your Dundak Shalta de Ar Harchukmech Poch A Kram Cha Jarpu Nash Shuv Chukrup Chuk Rop Du Chaj Kram Man Rom Chaj Ej Bej Nuch Me Lon Ta Ej Chop Noch Vam Char Wipu Wuk Cha Shuvwe Krishtak Emdak Jenchoch Jul, Yor Dundak Shalta de Tar Harchukmech Poch.
The opponents meet. Again, this is a responsorial between the lore singer and the listeners. Kalish slaps Molar with the back of his hand and walks away. The sun rises high behind the Krishtak. When it rises over its top, it is time to do battle. There they stand, two mortal enemies, ready to fight to the death in hand-to-hand combat. Their armies stand and watch, unarmed at a distance. The war will be decided by two. The sun rises high behind the Krishtak. When it rose over its top, it was time to do battle. A couple things I want to point out here. First, the responsorial, it's in present tense. The sun rises high behind Kreystok. The second time, it's in the past tense. The sun rises high behind Kreystok. When it rose over its top, it was time to do battle. Also, the passage here specifically points out that their armies stand and watch, unarmed at a distance. Okay, so in other words, they are not a part of this. They are unarmed and at a distance. They will not be getting involved. And the war will be decided by two. Regardless of what happened up to this point, it's now between Kalesh and Molor, right? We pretty much just covered that a moment ago. Any other thoughts?
None from me.
Okay, let's continue on.
Kaitach, Kalesh Molor Je Shanmaj Kenmoch, Tikduraj Khosh, Ashtach Vish Wedge Rep, An Kalesh Betlech, Ej Jach Molor Et Khosh. Chaitu lunechku, vaj petvil jokku, cha klingan tikdu, kashtach vish rep watich, molor rol chipchu kalish edj tek, tuch molor ach rur krech, edj petvil chagli, kalish molor je, shanmaj chenmoch, tikdu raj khosh, Kashtachvish wedge rep, pan kalish betlech, edge jach molor et chosh, doit choch chap porg, oit chap porg, ach chaitchu e lunech nech, tik du daj, Kashtachvish rep cha ditch, molor et bid wit kalish, tuch e mev, edge ridglu. E luang molor mindu. Kalish molor je, shanmaj chenmoch, tikdu raj khosh. Kashtachvish wedge rep, pan kalish betlech, ej jach molor et khosh. Tur kashtachvish rep, wat wedgedich, molor cha tikdu, duk chu kalish, ej lel. Nik. Ton shau lo edge tik du lel. Nick ton shau lo edge kuvka. Nick ton shau lo edge rin mai. Kalish molor je shanmaj chenmoch tik du raj khosh. Kashtachvish wedge rep pan kalish betlech edge jach molor et khosh. Nick ton shau lo. Shad lau shan chenmoch kalish. Wedj borg nuvpu shan chenmoch. Shikral bikh tik tak. Joktach borg molor tik tu kem kalish. Bikh dok tak tlab moch.
The duel. Again, this is a responsorial, but it's in a reversed order. It starts with the repeated stanza by all, responded to by the lore singer. Kalesh and Molor, the strength of your hearts will decide what is to come. And they battle for 3 hours. Kalesh's batleth sparks and Molor's mighty sword roars. Both Klingon hearts beat at their strongest in lust for blood. In the first hour, Kalesh cut off Molor's beard. Molor fought harder, fierce, and ashamed. Kalesh and Molor, the strength of their hearts will decide what is to come. And they battle for 3 hours. Kalesh's batleth sparks and Molor's mighty sword roars. Both bodies grew tired and felt the pain, but their hearts knew only bloodthirstiness. In the second hour, Kalesh broke Molor's sword in half. Shame turned to fear in Molor's eyes. Kalesh and Molor, the strength of your hearts will decide what is to come. And they battled for 3 hours. Kalesh's batleth sparks and Molor's mighty sword roars. It was not long by the third hour before Kalesh struck his batleth right into Molor's heart, ripping them out. In one single move, he removed the hearts. In one single move, he restored his honor. In one single move, the battle was done. Kailash and Molor, the strength of their hearts, will decide what is to come, and they battle for 3 hours. Kailash's Batleth sparks, and Molor's mighty sword roars. In one single move, Kailash decides the fate of thousands and those to come. Kailash takes Molar's hearts, still beating, to the river Skrall, and sets them free in the Crimson Water. Wow, 3 hours in single combat. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And practically the only way that could be done is if both men had been trained in swordsmanship by the same master.
I can see why you would say that, but keep in mind that Kailash is fighting with a sword style that no one had ever seen before. So I think that the intent is less on the technical details of combat and more on the spirit that the author is trying to convey here. The idea that they had equal conviction and equal determination that sustained them. Whether that's a literary idea, you know, or, you know, literal history, I couldn't say. I have my belief, but I think each reader has to determine that for themselves. But in just looking at what's here, you see the progression where, especially in Molor, right? It Kailash is pretty confident through this whole thing, because when a warrior knows that he fights for honor, he's not afraid to die. So there is nothing here that he is going to fear. Even if he loses with honor. Molor, however, we see a progression where he goes in thinking, you know, I've got this, right? As the humans would say. But then his sword breaks, and now he's getting worried. Maybe I don't have. And it does say that both fighters are feeling the pain by the third hour, right? They've grown tired and they feel pain, as you would expect. I think that also underscores these are not supernatural individuals. These are still mortal Klingons. Strong as a Klingon they may be, they are still, you know, natural creatures with only so much reserves to draw on. And it's just who's going to last longer. And if we go with my original theory that it's less about technical details of combat and who had the physical strength and more who had the greater reserve of righteous indignation and spirit, you could certainly ascribe that to this passage.
Yeah, you can see with each stanza that goes by, Molor is becoming more and more eroded. He loses his beard, his sword is broken, he's finally killed. He would not have lasted any longer. He just did not have the resolve to do so, whereas Kalis was resolved to come out victorious.
Actually, Jajim, you brought up an excellent point that I did want to go back to. In the first hour, what happens? Kalis removes his beard. I just picture him swiping the Batleth as though he was going to take out his throat. But what does he do instead? He cuts off his beard. And previously we saw that Kailash had cut his own hair and used it to fashion his Batleth, right? Now he's cutting off a Klingon's beard. And how does it say that Molor responds to that, right? He's embarrassed by this. For a couple of reasons. I mean, first and foremost, he was just bested by, you know, a pretty smooth move, having his beard cut off when it could have been a killing blow. But also the symbolism of the beard. Klingon with a full beard is an adult male. He is strong. He has been in many battles and been able to protect that beard from being cut. But if it's cut in battle like this, that's a loss that is visible. Even if he wins this battle now, even if he kills Kailash and is victorious, until that beard grows out again, it's been shortened because a blade came close to his throat. And I think over the years, the role of facial hair and hair in general has had different cultural impacts. But I think most people can respond to the removing of a beard in combat. And then the breaking of the sword. We're setting up. We know how this ends. We know that Kalash is going to win. We know he's got the moral high ground. We know he's got the greater conviction. We know he's not a coward. That in and of itself gives him a huge advantage. A coward is going to hesitate. And an honorable man not afraid to die won't hesitate in the slightest. But when that sword breaks, that could be symbolic of the foothold that each individual has. It could also be symbolic of the strength of the Batleth next to whatever sort of sword it was that Melor was wielding. Mm-hmm. It certainly implies that this and possibly is the beginning of the almost mystical and mythical legend behind the Sword of Kalash, that it's so strong, made with his hair, with his own hands, you know. Anything you wanted to share, Janshi?
Well, the only thing is, if people have a copy of the Pakbat, they may notice a note. I think the note is on this this canto. There's a famous drinking song that people may have heard. I'm not going to try to sing it, but it starts out with Ej Humtach, Ej Dechtach Eu. And then the next line is Ej Dok Shodtach Roshpa. Shikral Biktik, the river scrawl flooded red for continuing on. And the note here in the printed copy of the Pakbat seems to be saying that's actually a line from this canto, but it's not actually that right. line. I don't think that line appears in this canto, but it's referring to this battle and the river scrawl running crimson red after this battle.
Right. Exactly, it does. It's the way that the humans translate it is still the heart still beating to the river scrawl. He sets them free in the crimson water. So he literally throws the organ dripping with blood into the water, and I'm not sure if it's meant to imply turning the river red or if the river already was red, which. Absolutely, it could be. After the battle's been fought there, many soldiers had bled into it. So, but yes, I think that's where the reference in that song comes from. You're right. Okay, let's do away with Molor. Canto 24.
This is the last canto of the Pakrad before we move on to the next book of the Akbat.
Yep.
Molor Klab Mochlu. Ikdu vam tuhku, chait moch tu jaj, bik tik vam, mat ha lu chur vaj dorlu, e yaj mech molor, ej bat vang choch mech molor, adak vup jaj kotar, puj rach, ach bat her pu klingan vam.
Molor's release. Kalash said, "May these waters wash clean the hearts blackened with shame, so that one day Molor will see the folly of his treacherous ways and embrace the ways of honor. May Kotor be merciful on his spirit, for no matter his faults, at least this Klingon brother died with honor." That, I think, is incredibly generous to say about an enemy. Because there absolutely was many ways this battle could have gone. Molor could have run. He could have, you know, withdrawn and raised a new army or regrouped or he could have tried to assassinate Kalash. Any number of things he could have done, but he didn't. He went ahead and he met Kalash in single combat, fought well. No indication from the text anyway that he did anything but fight honorably, and lost, and died. And I think that's key, because then nobody that witnessed that battle could say otherwise about either combatant other than Kalesh won. He won honorably. His bow fought with honor, lost. So we can move on from there. It is interesting. I know that there are different beliefs. Anyone who tells you they know what happens in the afterlife is lying to you, okay? As far as we know, Kalesh, his brother, and his father were the only ones to go into the afterlife and return. Well, I suppose you could say KOTOR and the Honored Dead that, you know, chased after them did as well. But since that time, none have. So the idea of knowing what happened to Molor after death, we don't know. We know that Kalesh put in a good word for him with KOTOR, but we don't know for sure what KOTOR does after he leaves, right? He, with the creation of Shtovokor, if Molor goes on to Shtovokor, as Kalesh suggested, he was, he died with honor. Or if in fact KOTOR said, nah, he didn't die with honor. He's going with me to Grethor. I don't know. And there's been a lot of debate about that. I'm going to leave that up to you guys. What do you guys think?
I think Kalesh honored Molor, even though Molor was somewhat dishonorable, I mean, for his actions. But at the same time, we're talking about often redemption in this story. And Molor, by coming down and meeting Kalesh face to face, redeemed himself as a warrior, and I personally think that he would be welcome in Shtovokor.
By the same token, I take the opinion that Kalesh honored Molor's efforts to teach the surviving Klingons that even if you lose a battle, as long as you do it with honor, it has meaning.
What about you, John Shi? What do you think?
Kalesh gave Molor a chance to escape in some aspect, right? He had him by the throat, could have killed him. And the fact that Molor showed up after he had seen how powerful and dangerous Kalesh was, still hopeful that he could win, but not surely not as confident in his win, shows some honor was somewhere within him. And, you know, the theory would go that Kalesh knew that and saw that, and that's why he let him go and said, come back tomorrow, so that it could be a worthy opponent and a honorable fight. And I think in some way Kalesh is honoring the fact that Molor ended honorably rather than with the kind of nonsense that he was doing beforehand.
I would go even further. I would say that if, as we had said previously, the whole reason that Kalesh is doing this is specifically to teach those around him the way of honor, to lay the groundwork for an honorable life. What value is it if Molor, for example, makes an honorable choice to come and fight honorably, if he doesn't stand any chance of redemption, if he's going to lose and be condemned to dishonor for eternity? Again, just my opinion. I do caveat that, knowing that there are Klingons who just refuse to believe that anything happened to Molor, but he went to Grethor and he is with the demons there. I have a logical reason why I think he went to Shtovokor, I am not prideful enough to suggest that I know for certain, because I've never been to the afterlife and only plan to go there once. Then I'll know, but I won't be able to let anyone on this side of the veil know. So, yeah. Anything
Did
else?
Molar? No. Shtovokor existed?
No. We're getting to that because, as we mentioned before, part of, you know, the whole plan that Kalesh set, or the deal that Kalesh set forth with KOTOR, was that specifically there needs to be a place of honor for the honored dead to go. And that's what you'll set up when this is all done as part of my agreement with. So you're right. At the time, it was only, I suppose, from a certain point of view, Molor was thinking, I'm going to die one day eventually anyway. What lives on beyond me is how people remember me. You know, at least let them remember me with them. You know, at least he had that value. I'm not sure that he was planning his place in the afterlife with this decision. I think he was just, I mean, if we're to be truly romantic about it, we could even, and although I think this is unlikely, one could project onto him that maybe he was inspired by Kalesh. Kalesh was so honorable, maybe he inspired something in Molor. I doubt that to be the case, but one could speculate that. Okay, then that ends that book, The Pockmuck.
So, of course, that was epic and incredible and awesome, and what a great story. So, what have we been through with Kalesh to this point?
Quick summary. We have seen a little bit about the life of Kalesh and where he came from, his disagreement with his brother over their inheritance from his father, the death of their father as a result of the brother's treachery, Kalesh, his brother, and his father going into the afterlife, specifically Kalesh going there to bring them back so that honor could be met, a whole segment about the afterlife and dealing with Fechlar and Kotor, and how Kotor then had to return to Earth to bring Kalesh back, but then striking a deal between them that this historic event needed to be set to right, that that Kalesh needed to wage this battle for the sake of honor, and then he would return to the afterlife with Kotor. The battles that led up to the war that literally, well, actually, I should say the first major battle, being the battle for Kalesh's hometown, meeting the Lady Lucara, the great romance story, the building of the army to then take down the tower of Molor, and then the duel between Molor and Kalesh. We have just discussed today that duel, the victory of Kalesh over Molor, and when we get together next time, we will look at the aftermath of that, the creation of Shtovokor, Kalesh setting up, I guess one could argue he's creating the empire as we know it today, and then his leaving to enter the afterlife again in honor.
All right. And that is the Pockmuck or Pockmuck. Am I saying that right?
That's pretty good. Pockmuck.
All right.
Remember, Jim is a southerner, so his accent's a little off.
Yeah, my dialect.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around how sharp Kalesh's batleth had to be to cut through a beard, which only has one half of it stationary.
Well, we do have to use our imaginations a little bit, right? Because we could imagine that there were some whiskers left, but for all we know, he could have taken off the skin of his chin, literally. Who knows?
That would have made more sense.
I like to think of it that way. I like to think that he took off, there was blood dripping from his chin, some skin, and maybe even a chip of bone as he cut through his chin.
Geez, that happens to me every morning when I shave.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Trimming the mustache, trimming the beard. I have that problem myself at times. Often, though, interestingly, though, shaving. My biggest problem in shaving comes when I use a dull blade. If my blade is really sharp, I get the best smooth, you know, trim. So could look at it either way in that regard.
Or you can just go buy a Remington.
Well, yeah. You know, they got those lasers and stuff. Right.
Yeah.
But
unless, of course, you bought the Remington handgun and you're trying to shoot.
Well,
no.
Your whiskers off.
No.
Disruptor blades, right? All right, guys.
Well, you know, and just one more thing on this beard thing.
Mm-hmm.
Years and years and years ago,
mm-hmm.
I read a book. I cannot remember which one it was, but they had actually invented an aftershave that was a beard suppressor.
Huh.
So that, and I remember McCoy had failed to use it, so he was getting a little shaggy looking. And this beard suppressor would inhibit hair growth for 2 weeks.
Huh. Some sort of depilatory solution of some kind.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'd invest in that.
In Paul Anderson's Ensign Flandry series, they take a drug that suppresses beard growth.
I don't know if I'd want to take a drug. Aftershave would be all right.
Well,
you're still taking a drug. You're just using your skin as a mechanism to receive it.
Yeah.
I did mention earlier that this whole thing about the symbolism that hair has for a Klingon, whether you have a full head of hair, whether you take it off, baldness, the beard, and so forth. And there's been a lot of discussion about periods of time when Klingons were not unified and therefore might be moved to remove their hair from their head and so forth. Would a Klingon have to then remove their hair every day, thereby rededicating themselves to their current condition of disunity? I'm going to leave that up to each individual Klingon to determine for themselves. But I think there is value in choosing each day to let your hair grow or make sure that it remains hairless. There is value in trimming your beard and keeping it a certain style. What does that say about a warrior? I think there's a certain amount of a personal expression that goes into that.
And oddly enough, unless your pictures are really, really old, guys, I appear to be the only one that has a beard.
Look very, very closely at mine. You can see the...
I can see a two pair of hands blocking it.
Yeah, but look at the side that doesn't. Well, there's a lot of shadow there, too. There's definitely... There's no mustache, but there is whiskers coming down the side, and it does cover my chin.
Mm.
The core style.
Mine, you can see the white beard running along my chin, especially when you look closer to the hairline.
Yup.
Yeah, and yep. I was burned in a warp core breach accident, so that's why I don't have one.
That happens from time to time.
Yeah. So at any rate, maybe we should take this out. You know, John Shi, Kartan, thank you again for mm-hmm. joining us for this, and we will return to Boreth once again to get your wisdom.
It's always a pleasure to have guests so that we can look at something other than our own hands while we study, you know?
Exactly. Wisdom is meant to be shared.
Absolutely. So,
ka-pla!